5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Wendy Bell. Inspiring solutions to save America. One show at a time. Are you ready to get on board?
They believe that they can destroy this bond that exists between you and Trump if they somehow make Trump look bad, make Trump look like a reprobate, embarrass you about Trump. They can't do it because you came before Trump. Desperately want Trump gone, and I know that they desperately want it codified that Trump cannot run again, because make no mistake, they remain scared to death of you, and they remain scared to death of Trump. Trump, 75 million, 80 million votes. And I'm going to tell you, you're not going anywhere. Even if Trump does, you're not. Which I think remains one of our big campaign strengths going forward. They can't separate you from Trump. And more importantly, they can't separate you from the ideas. They can't separate you from MAGA. They can't separate you from Make America Great Again.
From sea to shining sea, 3 hours of bold truth and excellence. The Wendy Bell Radio Program.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Wendy Bell Radio Program. Delighted as always to be with you as we share our views of common sense, conservative values. Something's really going on in our government. And it seems like Donald Trump is okay with it. It seems like Trump is working with Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, to pass through this $60 billion in aid to Ukraine. And I have to be honest with you. I don't understand it. All I can do is what we always do, and that's go up to 30,000 feet, look down at the landscape and trying to figure out how everybody is moving around and why. But it's the same people voting to give $100 billion that you and I don't have, that they are ostensibly stealing from my children, my children's children, and yours, in order to keep this farce of assistance to a winless war going. Meanwhile, there's all sorts of scut that you hear that Ukrainian officials are clearly getting rich off of it. I mean, how else does Vladimir Zelensky's mom buy a $5 million Egyptian home? Like, I mean, come on, right? Anybody who has any scintilla of common sense wants to know, where the hell does the money go? And since we're the ones who are getting screwed, ought we not have those answers? Well, you should. And it seems like there's just a few voices who are willing to push back. So this happened over the weekend. The House voting again. Let's give money to Taiwan. Let's give money to Israel. Let's give money to so-and-so. What about our freaking border? That's a very simple question. And then after the vote passed, yay, more money we don't have that we'll have to borrow from China to give someone else. Just add it to the tab. $34 trillion and counting. What's another $100 billion after all? I mean, really? They waved Ukrainian flags. In Congress. Not American flags. Ukrainian flags. Say what? We can't protect our own people, but we're going to pretend that sending tens of billions of dollars to foreign countries is going to solve it. It's going to move the needle. It's going to end the war. And you have demonstrably untrustworthy people like Lindsey Graham echoing this. Headline, New York Post. Do you guys hear what they're calling Marjorie Taylor Greene now? Ken Buck? The CNN wannabe hack who's bailed from the House as a Republican, he's calling Marjorie Taylor Greene Moscow Marjorie. I don't know about you guys, but from where I'm sitting in the stands, we have a lot of serious problems in this country. And they demand adults in the room. Not people behaving like children. Not grown-ups behaving like children. Moscow Marjorie Taylor Greene and GOP rebels defeated as House passes $61 billion in Ukraine aid package. That was just Ukraine's cut. How much goes to the stopping of the open turnstile at the southern border? Zero. Here's your story. House Speaker Mike Johnson, Saturday, he crushed an effort by far-right Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene. I don't really think she's far-right. I think that's a wrong moniker, even for the New York Post. Loving America first, believing in our country first, helping our people first, is not a right-wing, far-right sentiment. It's called common sense. Pushing through a $95.3 billion aid package that funds the fight against Russia, the defense of Israel, and resistance against China. Aren't we in bed with everybody anyway? I mean, aren't we already sleeping with all these players? China? Joe Biden, clearly. How many millions of dollars has that dude gotten from China? China! How much money did he get from Moscow's mayor's widow? $3.5 million at a minimum. Why did the Chinese give him a car? Why did they get diamonds? Why are we allowing Joe Biden and the Biden crime family syndicate to continually get rich? As Benny Thompson wants to strip away Donald Trump's Social Security detail because they fully believe that he's going to be convicted and thrown in prison, just like all the January 6 hostages. Lawmakers, in a rare bipartisan effort, overwhelmingly approved the four-bill package, including one measure providing $60.8 billion for Ukraine. About 80% of that money will go toward replenishing supplies of U.S.-made weapons and ammunition and other direct military assistance. Another $9.5 billion is in the form of a forgivable loan. Right? It reminds me of when Joe and I, my husband and I, joined a country club. Worst investment in your life, belonging to a country club. But it's a great place for a child to grow up in a safe community, learn how to golf, learn how to swim, maybe play some tennis. If you're able to scrape by, make it happen. It's great. I'll never forget when they called our last name over the loudspeaker. O'Toole! And our son Jack walked up to the snack shack and got arms full of ice cream that he had decided to buy for his friends, not realizing, of course, that somebody had to pay the bill. Oh, yeah, that's your mom and dad, Jack. And you now, that we have to come up with a payment plan for you. And he was like, wait, what? You actually have to pay for this? Yeah, somebody does. That's the way our Congress is behaving. It's a blank check. What are we really paying for? I want you to hear Gerald Connolly. He's the Democrat from New York who decided, is he from New York? Where is he from?
Virginia.
Virginia, I beg your pardon. He's going to tell you a big fat lie. He's going to tell you, don't pay attention to your southern border because your border is Ukraine. Wait, what? Listen.
Some say, well, we have to deal with our border first. The Ukrainian-Russian border is our border.
No, it's not.
It's the border between depraved autocracy and freedom-loving people seeking our democratic way of life. Do we have a stake in that outcome? Yes. Undeniably, yes. Will we rise to the occasion? Will we stand shoulder to shoulder with our Ukrainian brothers and sisters,
wow,
who for 1,151 days have been holding off the depraved, thuggish dictator Vladimir Putin, who has respected no norms of warfare? He's targeted children in hospitals and schools. He's bombed apartment blocks, killing thousands.
War sucks. All we ever said is we wanted the fighting to stop. All you're doing is you're giving them tools to kill more, Jerry. That's not our border. We have a border, and it is woefully destroyed thanks to you and all the other clods in Congress who vote in lockstep for the destruction of this country. Now, I ask you this. Why are we giving money to Ukraine when the Houston Police Union over the weekend in the United States of America in the year 2024, the police union in Houston, Texas, had to issue a warning to all residents that Houston streets are not safe because, quote, many suspected murderers are walking the streets. Now tell me, which do you feel, as an American, is more important? America, our cities, our streets, our people, our children, our future, or the guise of doing something through war, which always sucks, with no demonstrable results, no receipts, and no end in sight? This is Vietnam all over again. And you're paying for it. When we come back, let's talk about this. The slow awakening in a liberal hellscape. A couple different places in California where folks are waking up today saying, really? This is what voting Democrat gets us? As Karen Bass, the mayor of Los Angeles, her home is broken into. Can't make it up. Next. You know, just reading this headline from the Gateway Pundit tells you everything you need to know. Houston police, the union, issues a warning that the Texas city, Houston, is not safe, as many suspected murderers are walking the streets. The department is also currently facing major staffing shortage in the aftermath of the George Floyd riots. It's a perfect storm created by sucky Democrats. That's an ineffective, feckless rhino Republicans. That's what you have. And the collateral damage, you. You, of course. Interesting to be in California. I'm going to be there in a couple of weeks for my son's graduation from college, right? And I'm just so interested in how everybody there, predominantly the Democrats, how they feel about how their state's doing. How's it going? Going well? Because if you're Karen Bass, the mayor of Los Angeles, not so much. Because even her home got broken into. At least the police roll up when she calls. See, where I live in Democrat hellscape Pittsburgh, we were just told recently that there are no police. Very few at all. In the early morning witching hours of criminality, 3 to 7 a.m., how lovely for the city officials to put out the knowledge. Hey, everybody, criminals, pay attention. There'll be nobody to stop you between 3 and 7 a.m., so good luck. And if you find somebody streaking through your house, make sure you catch video of them for proof. And then maybe, when the staffing levels bounce back up, somebody will come help you. What? L.A. Mayor Karen Bass's home broken into while people were inside. Suspect in custody. Of course, they're not waiting for the lights to go out. They don't care. There's not law enforcement anymore. It's been demonized. It's been deregulated. It's been de-everythinged. A suspect was arrested after breaking into Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass's home early Sunday morning. Los Angeles Police Department said at about 6:40 a.m., an individual smashed a window to break into Getty House while people were inside. Getty House is Bass's official home, located on South Irving Boulevard in Windsor Square, nearly 5 miles west of Los Angeles City Hall. When officers arrived, they apprehended the suspect without incident. Maybe it was the same guy who broke into Paul Pelosi's house. Must have been one of those MAGA Republicans. Ah, where's Nancy? Right? I've got my vibrating hammer. Let's go. Incident comes as crime continues to rise and the LA District Attorney's soft-on-crime approach to court cases. Los Angeles DA George Gascon barred prosecutors from pursuing advanced punishments for gang members. What could go wrong with that? As the county's top prosecutor, Gascon also enacted a series of criminal justice directives. You know, he's funded by George Soros, so who's surprised? Since taking office in 2020, that have drawn scorn from opponents and many in law enforcement, such as barring prosecutors from attending parole hearings, promoting zero cash bail, and of course, efforts to end the prosecution of juveniles as adults, even for violent crimes. What? You murdered somebody as a 15-year-old? Well, I'm sure you didn't mean it. Just don't do it again. That's not a country that has a winning team. That's not a team that's going to survive and win. That is a race to the bottom. Now, on the flip side of that, I can tell you some moderately good news that California's first tranny mayor has been kicked out of office. What? A transgender mayor? Of course. Of course. California's first transgender mayor, Raul Ureña, is kicked out of office after opponents mount, quote, transphobic recall campaign. What do you do when you're on a team that's trying to lose? What do you do when you actually care about the outcome? You care about how the game is played. It's history. It's nuance. What makes it special from other sports? What do you do when the team that you're on plays dirty and really isn't about winning? Because they're guaranteed control of something, whether they throw the game or try to win it. You mean to tell me that a 26-year-old transgender person, that's the best and the brightest that we have? Somebody, obviously, who the residents in California want to get rid of, and the minute you speak truth to that, you're ineffective. Our streets are unsafe. Things are out of control. We have to step over poo and needles, and open air drug use is rampant, and children aren't safe. Nobody is safe. And we want a redo. Well, you're transphobic if that's what you want. It's NPR. You shouldn't let him say mean things about us. That hurts our feelings. Where are the adults, my friends? Where are the adults in the room? Because an adult would say, stop defunding the police and stop electing people who suck, because you're ruining not just our team, but the game. And that's where we are. When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio Program, let's pivot, friends. Got to talk about the Supreme Court. Did you know that they unanimously did something that was pretty great? Hey, all you white straight men who've been poked and picked on and kicked to the curb. Next, story for you. Welcome back to the Wendy Bell Radio Program, my friends. It was with great intrigue that I stumbled upon this story because Brock sent it to me over the weekend. And I was like, what's this? The Supreme Court doing something unanimous again? And the mainstream media are not touching it. Huh. What is going on? Now, I had to hunt and pack and manage to find something out of the UK. Why would that be? It's about discrimination. I don't know about you guys. I think discrimination is discrimination. I don't think there is such a thing as reverse discrimination. Because while white people have been largely blamed for racism in the past, racism does not know race. It is not specific to one person over another. It's a kind of behavior. And actually, if you look up the word, and I think we use it wrong so commonly, it's believing your race is superior to another, that you're better than someone else. And then there's that blanket umbrella of just suck that follows after it. Black people can be as racist as anybody in the world. It does not discriminate. It is what it is, right? So for the high court to 9-0 vote to rule that these employer diversity initiatives based on box checking can be actionable, that let's say a white man who's been passed over for a promotion that clearly he has spent years of his life and certain achievements to succeed, to achieve, right? For him to be passed over by somebody who's lesser qualified because of a preferred box that they check is now actionable. Now you can sue for that. And in fact, the high court lowered basically the standard by which you need to prove harm. Let's talk about this, because this is going to have a very interesting effect on court cases going forward in every single jurisdiction. This particular case was brought by a police officer in St. Louis. And this police officer alleged that she had worked very, very hard for many years. She had climbed up the rungs of the echelons of the St. Louis police force. And she hobnobbed and collaborated with highest ranking police officials. They worked on human trafficking cases. They worked on murder cases. They worked on crime rings. They worked on some really serious stuff. Until all of a sudden one day, her boss basically bounced her to a different job, a lesser job, did not change her pay or her benefits, but basically stripped her of a very prestigious position and instead put her in charge of all of the beat cops, all of the patrol cops working the city streets. Her hours changed. She was no longer able to take home a vehicle to her house. All of it changed. And so she sued and went through a couple different circuits and then this district and blah, 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 however the legal system works. And basically the court said, well, suck it, sunshine. That's sort of the way it goes until this ruling by the Supreme Court. The U.S., this is from Yahoo News. They're ripping off Bloomberg. This is the one place I did find it here locally. The U.S. Supreme Court's ruling that a St. Louis police sergeant can sue over a job transfer she claims was discriminatory was championed by human rights groups as an enormous win for workers. And yes, it is. But it also comes with a very intriguing underbelly. However, hours after the decision Wednesday, lawyers were warning that the outcome could have a chilling effect on employers' diversity initiatives because it adds to questions about what is legal. Well, what is legal? Should you be allowed to jump over somebody or demote somebody or move them into another capacity to put somebody who satisfies your diversity requirements in that position? No, not anymore. And this is an open door now, an open book for anybody, particularly white straight men who've been emasculated, who've been vilified, who've been called the scourge of our society. How dare you with your misogynistic ways? Really, and all we really have is a bunch of, I'm sure, just white guys who do what we all do. Want to support their families. Want to do right by their families and provide, who've become the de facto whipping boys of this whole diversity, equity, and inclusion nonsense, which is funded by dirtbags like, you know, Fink at BlackRock and all the others. Vanguard, State Street, all of it. It's this hamster wheel of chasing something that's unattainable because we're not intended to judge each other based on external characteristics. It should be about what's inside. Your drive, your brain, your heart, your audacity to work. Your belief in the American dream and achieving it. The high court has said, uh-oh, watch out, everybody. So here is the story. Jetonia Claiborne Muldrow sued the city of St. Louis after she was reassigned from the department's intelligence division on public corruption and human trafficking cases to a job in the city's 5th district. Though she was paid the same, she said she's had to start working weekends, had less prestigious assignments, and lost access to high-profile people. In short, she argued, the transfer was negative for her, and it was made on the basis of her sex. Workplace discrimination due to sex or other protected characteristics, including race, color, religion, or national origin, is illegal. But courts across the country have disagreed about how substantial the unequal treatment must be to merit a legal claim. In this case, the city argued that Muldrow's lateral move at the same pay grade wasn't significantly harmful enough to meet the standard. Of course, to her, it was big. Supreme Court disagreed with the city, and they said an employee just needed to show, quote, some harm under the terms of their employment, and it doesn't need to be material or substantial or serious. That's huge. The decision makes it easier for workers to sue over discriminatory job transfers. Well, let me ask you this. How about if you were discriminated against based on vaccination status? That's a whole new can of worms. Could you say that exclusion from participation in a mentoring or leadership program materially disadvantages someone? Said Jonathan Siegel, a partner specializing in employment and labor law at a specific law firm. Even before the opinion, this guy speaking was advising companies to look at developmental programs that only allow people of protected groups to participate. He said now he says the risk is even higher, meaning if you discriminate against white guys or white women or straight people, or Catholics, or the unvaccinated, you are opening yourself up to major legal harm. And though the racial justice group Legal Defense Fund praised the ruling, Senior Economic Justice Counsel Pilar Whitaker acknowledged opponents of DEI programs will likely see this as an opening to launch new attacks on diversity programs. That is giant. Now, I pulled up the decision, all right? And I want to get to specific people because all 9 justices voted in accord that more people should have a lower bar to be able to sue for discrimination. Their purposes in voting that way or ruling that way were different. Justice Kagan delivered the opinion of the court. And then you go through here and you read the other opinions. And I want to get to one in particular because these are very interesting. It's intriguing to see how the high court writes. And they're just little blips of these from, let's say, Justice Alito. And they basically say what we've been doing. This is Justice Thomas, all right? He says this. This is important. I agree with Justice Alito that the courts of appeals all appear to articulate the same principle, but with slightly varying verbal formulations. A plaintiff bringing a claim must show harm that is more than trifling. You can't say that your feelings were hurt, right? I am not convinced, however, that the court accurately characterizes this decision. I don't read this circuit opinion to have necessarily imposed a heightened harm requirement in the form of significance test. They're saying this is the ability for people who have been wronged over the last several years, think COVID, think crazy, think diversity, think box checking, think people who have pushed you out of the way, who don't have the credentials, who don't have the experience, who don't have the track record, who don't have the knowledge to be able to remove you or jump over you in terms of promotion. Thomas is saying, look, everybody, You have the ability now to go after this, but it's respective of every single individual state and their courts to determine the parameters with which somebody can sue and be rewarded their promotion or their job back. This opens the door for every college DEI program, which specifically chooses certain students based on physical characteristics that they can't control to jump over more qualified candidates because they're white or straight or male. It is a can of worms. And it has the ability to be the thread, the great unraveling of this chapter of absolute, unconscionable, indefensible racism, sexism, favoritism, and lunacy. I say, bring it. Why isn't the mainstream media talking about this? Do you believe? Doesn't spell good news for them. When we come back, friends, on the Wendy Bell Radio program, I just messed up my own name. In today's You Can't Make It Up files, UCLA has gone out and done a little bit of study. And the study is about climate change and gay people. Did you guys know that gay people are more susceptible to climate change than straight people? Yeah, I'll give you it to you. I'll give it to you next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. You know, I think we need to start a new open here. You can't make this crap up, files, today. A UCLA study. I have to ask myself, and you might as well. I've got one who's graduated from college, one who's 2 weeks away from graduation, one who's on his way to college, and two who are kind of starting to think about it. And I've got to ask my last two sons, is this really what you want to do? Because it seems like the benefit of higher education these days is gravely in question. And it should be. You got a bunch of spoiled brats who needed to be told no, deciding to overtake Columbia University and demand this or that. Sit down. Shut up. I'm not really interested in what they think. Go out and do something. Go out and achieve something and then come back and talk to us. UCLA has decided to do a study. Oh boy. And the study is on gay couples. And the study has concluded that gay couples are at a greater risk from climate change. Who knew? This is fascinating. And we wonder why nobody has any faith in science anymore. If you doubt science, you doubt me, said Tony Fauci, who completely bastardized all things research. Right? Here's your story from the collegefix.com. This is on the heels of a recent study saying if you wear jeans, of course, you're screwing the earth. Yes, that's true. Every wear of your jeans is doing something to planet Earth. You can't get dumber than that. Well, a new study out of UCLA says same-sex couples are at a greater risk of exposure to the adverse effects of climate change than straight couples. Oh, do tell. I'm all ears now. These effects include wildfires, floods, smoke-filled skies, and drought. This is according to a report from KQED, which I'm sure is either a radio station or a TV station of suck. Same-sex couples disproportionately live in coastal regions and cities, which are more vulnerable to such disasters. They're also more likely to live in areas with poor infrastructure, worse built environments. What?
Wasn't that black people just 6 months ago?
What?
With a study?
What are they talking about? I sure hope they've got some research here to share with us. Let's proceed. Washington, D.C., which rates high for, quote, climate risks such as heat waves, floods, and dangerously strong winds, I'm sorry, have they been to the middle of America? Right? Has the greatest proportion of gay couples in the United States. D.C. does. San Francisco ranks second and also faces a high climate change risk. Again, I'm not finding the science here. According to KQED report, the city's leather and LGBTQ cultural district flooded 22 years ago, swamping the entire area. The closest supermarket, Rainbow Grocery, also got flooded. What does that have to do with climate change? You're obviously presuming that the cycles of weather are all connected to something that scientists don't agree on. That there's any change at all to the climate. That's demonstrably proven based on our effects on it. What's going on in China? Aren't they building two coal-powered or coal-fueled power plants every single week there? Ought we not be talking about them and their effects to climate change? Instead of this, saying that gay couples somehow are greater victims of what we're doing to the planet? How are we going to survive? This is the dumbest crap I've heard. Ari Shaw, the director of international programs at UCLA's School of Law's Williams Institute, who specializes in international human rights, LGBTI politics, and U.S. foreign policy, noted the study cuts against the narrative that LGBT individuals have access to all the resources that they need. They should be out there asking for some of the Ukrainian money. It's the only solution. It's the dumbest thing, Shaw said his team considered same-sex couples. Because the U.S. Census gathers information on cohabitating same-sex households, but does not broadly collect sexual orientation or gender data. You're looking for a reason to be a victim. Go love who you love. We don't care. I don't care. I don't care if you're gay. I don't care if you're straight. I don't care if you're black. I don't care if you're fat or tall or thin or Jewish or Muslim. I don't care. Stop it. Stop it. It is relentless. It is the hamster wheel of victimhood. If you belong to a protected category, we'll find some way to get you something that you don't deserve. And then we'll go after the people who really are woefully apathetic about what everybody else is doing because they're working and trying to raise their families and pay their bills. Right? A race to the bottom. So I ask all my Democrat friends out there who are watching this program and listening right now, what do you guys do that doesn't suck? What do you do that's of benefit to we the people? What do you do that makes America better? What do you do that makes us safer or stronger or smarter? What do you do that lifts up our children? What do you do that moves the needle? The short answer, you don't. You're a drag on everybody else who believes in making America great again. When we come back, hour number three of the Wendy Bell Radio program. Seriously, the Biden administration is suing Sheetz? This is going to be a good one, friends. Buckle up. Got it next for you on the Wendy Bell Radio Network.